Welcome to Preaching and Preachers, a weekly podcast devoted to those who preach and to the task of preaching itself. I'm your host, Jason Allen, president of Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. Today, I want to welcome my friend Zane Pratt to the podcast. Zane serves with the International Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention for Vice President for Global Training. Over the years, he served in different posts with the IMB and also stints stateside in theological education, including a stint as Dean of the Billy Graham School at Southern Seminary. Zane, welcome to Preaching and Preachers.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Melissa, I'd like to have you in the studio today in Kansas City. You're here in Kansas City for a missions intensive with some local churches here. And so I'm just grateful for you, your friendship, your service with IMB, and all that you and Dr. David Platt and the team at the IMB is doing to further the Great Commission.
Well, thank you. And it is good to be with you again. We served together for a bit at Southern. And it is fun to see what God is doing through you here at Midwestern. It's really encouraging.
That's kind. Well, the Lord has been good, and we're enjoying a very sweet season of growth here and of institutional health. And anyway, it's always encouraging when friends like you who come to campus who haven't been here in a few years get to see and participate in what's going on here. So thank you for that.
And we are very much enjoying the students you're sending our way. You've sent us some really fine missionaries. So thank you.
Well, that's very kind of you to say that. And boy, that is profoundly encouraging for me as well. We obviously value the IMB. We're an institution committed to the Great Commission. Our Fusion program, our undergraduate program, we do in partnership with IMB, just in many ways cultivates and calls out the best and the brightest for mission work. So, man, that's encouraging for me to hear you say that.
And let me reinforce that plug for the Fusion program, because we have been very impressed with the folks who come our way through that. That's an excellent program for helping young people get ready for going to tough places around the world.
Yeah, I guess I should just digress here just briefly for those listening unfamiliar with the Fusion program. Fusion is a one-year program here. It's the freshman year of college, and for the fall semester, students study missions and other courses on campus. In the spring semester, they serve overseas in partnership with IMB and under Midwestern Seminary oversight and support. In missionary context, doing missionary work. And this is not, you know, the youth group mission trip to Cancun we've all heard about. They are serving in difficult places, doing rigorous gospel work. I've been overseas with them at different points to see their work, to partner with them in their work. And it's the real deal. So if you're listening to this podcast, you're a pastor or a youth leader or a student minister, or someone who interacts with high school students looking to follow God's call in their life, check out Fusion. Go to Midwestern Seminary's website, check out the Fusion program, and it might just be what the Lord is calling some of your young people to undertake. Well, Zane, listen, we're in the studio today, and we're going to talk about preaching as missions. Preaching as missions. This podcast, Preaching and Preachers, is targeted specifically towards those who preach, who serve in pastoral ministry, serve in local church ministry. We have a lot of seminary students and other folks like that as well who listen, and so we seek to build a conversation around topics that connect with the pulpit ministry in particular. Before we get into this topic, though, let's just spend a few moments on the front porch, as I like to say, and maybe hear just a word about your work with IMB, what's going on there at the IMB, what you're encouraged about these days, about what the Lord is doing through the International Mission Board.
Well, David Platt, our new president, asked me to step into a role that has never really existed before, which is to give oversight to all of training that the IMB does. Which is quite a bit, actually, of our mandate. And so that includes training that we offer to local churches here in North America to help them be better engaged in mission, training we give to our own workers as we prepare and then continue to work with them and develop them as cross-cultural witnesses globally, and then training that we give to national pastors and other church leaders around the world as we are engaged in planting new churches and raising up leaders there. It's been a lot of fun, and we have been able to develop a number of new resources. They're available on our website to help churches to get a better feel for missions. One of the things we've realized is that the kind of Southern Baptist world that I grew up in many decades ago, in which missions education was a part of normal life, just isn't there as much anymore. And many churches no longer have any effective or concentrated or intentional training for their members in understanding global mission. So not at all intending to supplant what Woman's Missionary Union does, but really in cooperation with them, we have developed some tools for churches, including a six-week small group study. That's an introduction to missions. In the preface to it, I state our only assumption is that you're born again And just in case you're not, here's a link to a gospel presentation. And so off we go from there to help people understand why it is that we as a denomination have always been so committed to global mission, so committed to the Great Commission, not only here at home, but also around the world.
So your more distant past, how did you become a missionary? And just touch on briefly the different contexts overseas over the years you've served in.
God called me into ministry. I didn't know what that meant, but he called me into ministry right out of high school, an understanding that he wanted me to be involved in preaching and teaching the word. Right after college, I heard a missionary speaker who exposed me for the first time to the concept of unreached peoples, to the reality that over a third of the world's population live among people groups with little to no witness for the gospel. They have no access to the good news of Jesus. They will be born, live their whole lives, and die without ever hearing about the possibility of being reconciled to God through faith in Jesus Christ. And that cut me to the core. And I realized at that point that I would need to justify why I didn't go where I was needed most. The analogy that she used, and I've heard other missionaries use it as well, is that 90% of the full-time Christian workers in the world are in North America ministering to the most evangelized 7% of the world's population. So she said, if you see 10 men carrying a telephone pole, nine are at one end and one's at the other, which end do you go to help? And at that point, I realized I need to go to those who have never heard. So my wife and I were appointed in 1991, and we began working with an unreached people group in Central Asia, and that's where we have spent most of our adult lives. Our kids were born there, grew up there. Think of Central Asia as home. We found ourselves working in a part of the world that is 99.9% Muslim. So, for instance, the people group that we were working with, 13 million people, we found one Christian among them. And that's the kind
that's
of...
That's a staggering statistic.
Yeah.
13 million people, one Christian you encountered among them.
Right, right. And that person had actually become a Christian through being part of the Soviet Army, and it was during the Soviet Union era, and it was a Russian Baptist fellow soldier who shared the gospel with him. So places like that still exist. There's still over a third of the world's population still is to be found among those kinds of people groups. And that's what has driven me really my whole life since the Lord called me that night listening to that missionary speaker.
Wow. Well, I respect you so much and admire your work over the years you've done on the mission field. And now your current role, serving alongside Dr. David Platt and helping him shape strategy and equip churches for this great work. So we're talking about preaching as missions. And when you and I bantered about what we may speak on today, what we may record on today, this topic surfaced. And it's worded intentionally, preaching as missions, not preaching for missions or preaching unto missions or even, you know, missionary preaching, but preaching as missions. And the idea we want to get at is the role of the pulpit, the role of preaching in local church to emphasize missions, to highlight missions, to energize God's people towards missions, and how we can really accomplish that in local church. Now, before we get into the specifics there, just an observation. We all who have served in churches know there's nothing else like the pulpit to lead God's people.
Amen.
The pulpit is primarily used to preach God's word, but we're kidding ourselves if we don't also realize the leadership power in the pulpit on Sunday morning at 11 a.m. or whenever it is that God's people gathers. They're there, and whether we like it or not, whether we intend for it or not, there's a leadership being demonstrated, leadership being exercised through the pulpit unto God's people. With that in mind, we bear a special leadership stewardship, a special exercise of stewardship when it relates to how we preach and how we motivate God's people for missions. So let me just begin the conversation by asking this question. How do you see the connection between preaching and missions as you're working now in the churches on the stateside, seeking to see them galvanized for more aggressive Great Commission work? How do you see the link, the connection between preaching and missions?
We see a profound link between what the preacher preaches week by week on Sunday and how engaged the church is in missions. When missions is a special agenda for a small group of people in the church that does not get mentioned from the pulpit, those churches are seldom very deeply involved in global evangelization. It's as the pastor preaches consistently on God's heart for the nations, as he encounters it in the text, that the church is motivated and equipped to engage in sharing the gospel around the world. As a matter of fact, we are so committed to this that when we do something like the mission intensive that we're getting ready to do here in Kansas City, the requirement is the senior pastor has to come. No one from the church can come if the senior pastor doesn't come, because unless it's a part of his regular pulpit ministry, it will never be more than a special interest in the life of the church.
You know, I tell our students here often that there's a trickle-down effect in the local church. You show me a pastor who preaches a lot on prayer and is a man of prayer, I'll show you a church over time that takes prayer more seriously.
Yes.
Show me a pastor that's committed to exegetical preaching and takes the word seriously. Over time, I'll show you a congregation that mm-hmm. takes the word more seriously.
That's right.
You show me a pastor that's carnal or superficial or shallow, and well, I'll show you a church over time, unfortunately, that will probably reflect that carnality, that superficiality.
You're sadly right.
The same is true with missions, is it not?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it absolutely is. And one of the things we've seen is that pastors, I think, sometimes are afraid to preach on missions because they're afraid if they do, they'll end up getting called themselves. And so one of our challenges to preachers is you need to deal with this yourself, because you need to be bold in making this a normal part of your preaching agenda. So it's in the text all over the place. God's heart for the nations is literally from Genesis to Revelation. So rather than missions being something that you want to preach on once a year, just as it comes up, preach on it. Be bold about it. Challenge your people about it. And you yourself have to have a sense of security that you are exactly where you're supposed to be. And I think that a pastor should have that sense of confidence, that they are where they're called to be, and therefore they can confidently call others to go to the ends of the earth as a normal part of church life.
You know, you raise a very interesting aspect to all this, and that is the appropriateness of seasonally or occasionally focusing specifically on missions, preaching sermons on missions, mm-hmm. and what have you. You know, in organizational leadership, there's the old saying that if everyone does it, no one does it.
Right.
And, you know, there are times when a church or a business or a seminary, for that matter, you say, well, we're all going to take on this responsibility. And that sounds real good, but in the final analysis, oftentimes, all of us taking it on meant that no one actually took it on.
That's right.
And you think of the local church as it relates to missions, and I think of it as it relates to evangelism. You know, I've pastored churches over the years where we would have like a Tuesday night evangelistic outreach time. And I realize there are limitations to that, and evangelism most often happens best organically as we're in the lives of our neighbors and we invite them to church and we get to know them. But there's something about a specific time of the week when you challenge God's people to evangelize then. And maybe we'll grow beyond that where, you know, every day of the week is evangelistic day, but something about that focused time that seems to heighten the awareness of the evangelistic imperative. And I wonder if that bears out in your assessment as it relates to missions. In other words, the appropriateness of, though every Sunday is Great Commission Sunday, the appropriateness of Great Commission Week, 1 week a year, or the appropriateness of Global Missions Week, 1 week a year, where you really focus God's people through a conference or through a focused sermon, or some other targeted way to really, really, really emphasize the Great Commission.
When I think about the churches that I know that are most effectively engaged in the world, it's a both and. The pastor preaches fairly often on missions, and they also have a focus once a year on missions. They do have a Global Missions Week in which every aspect of church life is focused on that. They bring missionaries in. They have special events. It is a way of letting the church know we think this is important enough that we're going to dedicate a significant chunk of our calendar to it. I think you're absolutely right.
You know, Zane, this is such a helpful conversation, even for me, as I seek to serve the local church in my own role in my local church and encourage pastors and all the rest. And I'm really looking forward to getting into the rest of this conversation. But let me just pause here just for a moment for a word of update from Midwestern Seminary.
Midwestern Seminary's Doctor of Ministry degree program is your next step in training for local ministry. The Doctor of Ministry program at Midwestern Seminary is designed to equip and train leaders with a commitment to the local church. With multiple emphases available, including counseling, church revitalization, expository preaching, leadership, and missions, among others, your program provides the equipping you need in practical theology for direct church work and ministry leadership. And because all of our doctoral programs are modular, you don't have to leave your current ministry to pursue your degree. For more information, visit mbts.edu today. That's mbts.edu.
All right, we're back here in the studio with Zane Pratt, who serves as Vice President for the International Mission Board, recording a podcast on preaching as missions. And I am loving this conversation, Zane. Boy, by the sentence here, you're challenging me and encouraging me. As it relates to the sermon itself, mm-hmm. talk about why the sermon is crucial for missions.
Well, to begin with, the sermon is crucial to missions because the sermon is crucial to the health of the church and the believer. One of the things that we try to stress as we teach on missions is we're not teaching this as something that is somehow separate from or divorced from the life of a disciple in the context of his or her local church. It's a part of that. Even our mission, as we see it, is to share the gospel, disciple believers, plant churches, and train leaders all over the world. And I am firmly committed to the importance of the preached word as essential to the health of the church. Since it's essential to the health of the church, it's essential to the health of the believer as a disciple. And a missionary is simply a disciple of Jesus who goes and makes disciples for Jesus where Jesus isn't yet known. So the preached word is, to begin with, it's essential if we are to have those kind of trained disciples who are going to be effective disciple makers globally. And then one aspect of discipleship is getting a heart for the world as God has a heart for the world revealed in his word. And that comes through effectively proclaiming the word, through exegeting and applying scripture to people so that their sense of calling to mission is not a vague emotional thing, but a rock solid commitment that this is what God has said in his word and I must obey.
You know, my mind is racing over the years as I've been in different churches and served different settings as to how pastors I know have sought to really bring missions to the very forefront of the church's imagination. Mm-hmm. Many, many years ago, eons ago now, when I was a college student, I had the privilege of serving as a summer intern in the First Baptist Church of Frisco City, Alabama, just north of Mobile, where I'm from. I remember the pastor, a very faithful minister who's there, still there, his name is Mark McCullough, and a very dear man. And Pastor McCullough, he did a summer, throughout the summer on Sunday nights, did a summer school of missions. Hmm. And I was there with some of our students, you know, and listened to those Sunday night presentations. And it was just kind of week after week over a 6 or 8 week period where he talked about different missionaries and why our mission work. And it was so informative, even for me, who was kind of pre-committed to these things, but just being taught anew and reminded anew of why missions matter. I know other people have went into local church and pastoring churches that maybe otherwise were healthy churches, but there just hadn't been a fervent commitment to missions and have sought to bring that emphasis through the pulpit. Mm-hmm. So on this podcast today, as we're talking, I'm mindful of the fact that there are some listening who maybe that's the church they're pastoring. Maybe the pastoring church that's a relatively healthy church, sweet people, doing good work. And maybe they're even engaged locally, evangelistically. You know, in other words, their people get the fact that we need to be trying to win the kids down the street. We need to be evangelistically minded to our neighbors. But they haven't quite developed a comprehensive global understanding, global commitment to, global passion for the Great Commission. Speak to the minister, the preacher who's listening that says, that's my church. I want to seek to awaken within the church a passion for missions. How would you counsel them? How would you encourage them to preach, maybe series or passages, or how would you encourage them to really bring that passion to God's people through the pulpit?
I think key to that is for the pastor himself to grasp fully that the Great Commission was not an afterthought or an aside. It wasn't a throwaway comment that Jesus made, that it really is consistent with all that God had been up to through the Old Testament and then all that follows in the New Testament. When you begin to realize that God's heart for the nations, that God's agenda to have a people for himself from every tribe and tongue and people and nation, to bring the blessings that he promised to Abraham to all the peoples and all the families on earth, then you begin to see it as one of the frameworks for understanding Scripture, and that then begins informing preaching. And I think that people in our churches become missions-minded best, not by our hitting them over the heads with guilt, as by them beginning to see the amazing agenda of God, that his plan is to be praised by a people from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation, as we see described in Revelation chapter 7, and see that that begins in Genesis and goes all the way through. So the first thing I think I would encourage the pastor to do is to do sort of a biblical theological study himself of the nations in Scripture, and then begin to preach on that and help his people to see that. Let me speak to another slightly controversial subject, if I could, that I also see as somewhat inhibitory here, and that is the issue of fear on the part of people in our churches. People are afraid of the world. They're afraid of the nations. They're often afraid of the peoples who most need the gospel. And I think that part of what we need to do is to help our people overcome that fear and begin to grasp God's heart for and love for the very peoples that we tend to be afraid of. This personally hits me because I've spent most of my adult life in the Muslim world. And some of my dearest friends in the world are Muslims. And so I come back to the States and I hear the fear that people have toward the folks that I love and that have been my neighbors. And I think a good way to overcome that is to meet people who are different from you and begin to realize, they're actually pretty nice. Actually, they're pretty hospitable. And so one of the things that I encourage churches to do is to find the internationals in your community. They're probably there. I mean, even in small town America, increasingly there are internationals. And start reaching out to them. Start loving on them. Start inviting them in. Usually, most cultures around the world actually value hospitality in ways that we can't even barely scratch. And simply reaching out in love and hospitality to internationals can help break down that fear and help people to realize these are human beings created in God's image who need Jesus. And actually, they can be pretty good friends as well.
Well said. Well, our time has just flown by today, Zane, and I'm so encouraged by the conversation. I want to just maybe kind of pull this together with one final observation. That is the call to ministry or the call to missions. I wrote a book, came out last year, entitled Discerning Your Call to Ministry. And in the book, I deal with the whole idea of calling out the call, the local church's responsibility to emphasize the call to ministry and to have an observant eye on the congregation who God may be setting apart and to seek to nurture a context where the called are called out. There's a boy in my home church, often an invitation in the sermon would be given calling people to surrender to ministry or to surrender to missions. And as an adolescent, I was not well equipped to process all that meant. I mean, surrendering to the mission field to me sounded just exotic. I couldn't even conceptualize that. But now, of course, we understand, and I understand what that means and the fact that it's a healthy, God-honoring, exhilarating call.
Yes.
And I just want to encourage us pastors. We have a responsibility to call out the called,
Amen.
Whether it's to pastor a church locally, you know, domestically, or internationally, to intentionally focus on calling out those who will work the harvest. And so I just want to encourage those listening today, don't forget that as another essential component of being a man who exercises preaching as missions.
Amen. I totally agree with that and would encourage churches and parents, encourage your kids and rejoice when your kids respond to the call to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. It may seem scary to some extent, but I can think of nothing that excites me more than the thought that my children also want to take the gospel to those who've never heard it.
Awesome. Zane, thank you for the time today, and the Lord bless you and your work with IMB.
Thank you very much. It's been good being here.
Thank you for listening to Preaching and Preachers. For more information, please visit my website, jasonkallen.com.